Second chapter of the book of Colossians. And let me just give you a little update, because it's been a while since we were in the book of Colossians. We looked at the first three verses of this chapter under the heading, The Welfare of Believers. And we spent time looking at those three verses, and then we began to look at verses 4 through 10 under the heading, The Wonder of Christ's Person. The Wonder of Christ's Person. And one of the things that we have to always be careful of as we deal with in our Christian life is familiarity with Jesus Christ. We have an old saying, familiarity breeds contempt, right? And often we get so familiar with Jesus that we just see him as one of us. And we understand we have a intimate and close fellowship with him, but he is the supreme God, and everything is in him. And we must always remember that, keep that in our minds and understand that. You remember when we started this section, I said, the answer is Christ. Doesn't matter what the question is. The answer is Christ. He's the answer to everything in life, everything we need, everything you are struggling with. The answer is Christ. There's no other answer. There's no other answer. You can go to a psychologist, he'll give you an answer, but that's not the answer. You see, the only answer is the answer is Jesus Christ. And so we were looking at that. We looked at verse 4 first, and we looked at it under the heading of that I called the danger expressed. The danger expressed, he says, beware lest any man beguile you with enticing words. In other words, watch out for smooth talkers. We got a lot of smooth talkers in so-called evangelical society today. And they're smooth talkers, but they do not communicate the truth. And so we have to beware of smooth talkers. Then we looked at verse 5 under what I call the declaration of experience, and he talks about their experience as believers and their steadfastness, and it should be a picture of what's happening to us as believers. We should be walking, we should be in order, we should be a fellowship that's bound together, and our experience should be such as the fullness of Christ is working in the body of Christ. So the declaration of experience. Then we looked at verses 6 and 7 under the heading of desire and its execution. And let me remind you, the desire that the Apostle Paul expresses is that we walk in Christ by faith the same way we received him. Our Christian life doesn't change. We always continue walking by faith. Faith is the method. Faith is the instrument which God has provided us so we can walk in the way God wants us to walk. And so he says, here's my desire, that you keep walking in the way that you came to know Christ. You came to know him by faith. Keep walking in faith. And then the execution comes by what God has done in us. And you see that in verse 7. It says, having been rooted. That's the beginning. That's what God did for us first. He planted us and made us good trees. He planted us and made us children of God. He planted us into his family. So we have been rooted. We have been rooted. And then the next phrase is important. We are being built up. Nobody comes into the kingdom of God immediately perfect and without any warts. Everybody's got little problems. Everybody's got little things that affect them. You know, here am I, watch, look at my warts. And I think it's important for us to understand that. There is a building up that is ongoing that God is doing in the lives of each one of us. And that building up is a building up for the strengthening of the body of Christ. And this is vital and important for us to grasp hold of, that the process of building is ongoing. So we see the danger expressed, the declaration of experience, the desires and its execution. And now this morning I want to pick up in verse 8 where we left off, what I call the deception explained. You remember he expressed the danger in verse 4 and he goes on and now he explains what this danger is. And let me just read it from the text of the King James Version. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Let me just point out that there are six things here that he tells us that define false teachers. I thought it was interesting because Pastor Tony's been preaching on false teachers and Paul's preaching on false teachers. And let me ask you the question, why is there so much, and even Christ talked about false teachers, why is there so much in the Bible about false teachers? Yeah, that's right. Because there's a lot of false teachers around. There's a lot of false teachers. And all you have to do is turn on the boob tube and you get a bunch of them there who are expressing themselves as false teachers by the teaching that they teach. And what they teach shows that they are false teachers. So he tells us six things here. And the first thing is not a definition of false teachers, but a heads up to us. It's what I call the precaution shared. The precaution shared. He says, and now these are all in my translation, continue being discerning. Continue being discerning. Let me just say that one of the downfalls of the evangelical church today is the lack of discernment. People do not see, people do not understand, they do not know the truth. We will be in a while looking at the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, and he begins with the phrase in that 28th verse. He says, pay attention. And both of those are commands. They're not optional. Why are they commands? It's vital to understand. They're commands, and they're commands for a reason, because if I don't obey the commands, if I don't do what God says, you see, then I'm in big trouble. I'm in big trouble because I will never know false teachers. I will never understand. I have to be a discerning believer. I have to be a believer who understands and knows what is true and what is false. So you ask me the question, well, how can I do that? There are three things, and we've gone over these I don't know how many times, but there's three things. One is abiding in Christ. If you abide in Christ, then you know who are the false teachers, because you know what Christ is teaching. If you have his word abiding in you, that's the second thing. Then you know what's true and what's not true, because you know the book and you know what the book says. You see? And that's vital and important. And then the third thing, and this binds them all together, and that is being under the control and direction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us about Jesus Christ, reveals him to us, shows us his glory, shows us his majesty, shows us his power. And the Holy Spirit is the author of the book. Therefore, he teaches and instructs from the book which he has authored. And so we need the Holy Spirit. And if we have the Holy Spirit, we can then very clearly understand who is real and who isn't real, who are false and who are true. Let me just take you to 1 John chapter 2. Just turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. Go down to verse 18. And John explains this to us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. He says, little children, it is the last time. Now, there's two definitions of the last time in Scripture. The last time could mean the end of this age, or the last time could be a period of time which is bounded by the first coming and the second coming of Christ. And I think John here is referring to both. He's referring to both. This period that we're in is the last time, but we're getting close to the end of the last time. We're getting close to the end of the last time. He says, as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. By the way, the word Antichrist means against God's anointed. Against God's anointed, against God's chosen one. And do you feel like we live in a world where everybody's against God's anointed? Yeah, it's quite evident. But notice what he says, even now there are many. There are many. And we're going to see who the many is as we go on here for a minute. He says, whereby we know that it is the last time. We know, we can tell by the multiple number of false teachers that are coming in the name of Christ. In the name of Christ. And they don't know him. And they don't know him. And he says, here's how he defines them. Here's how he defines them. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. In other words, he says, they were in the church, and they were, looked like they were believers, but he says they went out and left the true church. Why? He says, for if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. They would have stayed in the truth. If they had been born again of the Spirit of God, they would have stayed in the truth. And the reason they didn't stay in the truth was because they were not born again of the Spirit of God. He says that in order that they might be made manifest or revealed what they really were, that they were not of us, that they didn't belong to the family of God. And then notice the statement, and here's the one I want to get to you. It's verse 20. It says, to the contrary, you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, that is Jesus Christ. And what's the next phrase? And you know all things. What does he mean? Does he mean that you've got all knowledge about everything? No. What he's saying is, you know all things that you need to know to be able to discern who are false teachers. Because you have the Holy Spirit. God has given you the Holy Spirit. And so whenever false teachers come along, you know, because you have the Holy Spirit. Go down to verse 24. He says, let that therefore abide in you, that is the Holy Spirit and the Word, which ye have heard from the beginning. You heard the Word, the truth. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall abide in you, ye also shall continue in the Son. Notice there's always a relationship between the abiding of the Word and our relationship to God. If the Word of God ever leaves us and we do not have or know the Word of God, it shows that we did not belong to God in the beginning. You see? And the fact that we keep on keeping on, even though sometimes we may stumble, even though sometimes we may fall, even though sometimes it may not look great the way we're walking and we look like we're staggering and had too much to drink, but we're still walking in our Christian faith and we never walk out of it. We never walk out of it. And he says, you will remain, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And he says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. The end of it, walking with him, walking in his truth, is eternal life. In verse 26 says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that what? Seduce. You see, he's talking about the same thing. He's talking about the same thing that we have seen Pastor Tony teaching about, what Peter was teaching and what Paul is teaching here, that there are seductive teachers who are real smooth guys who are going to try to take people away from the faith. And I think it's important that we realize that this is a warning that comes throughout Scripture, that we have the Holy Spirit so that we can understand, and the Word of God helps us to understand false teachers. Then notice what he says. He says, the anointing which you have received of him continues abiding in you, and you do not need any man to teach you. What does that mean? You're all excused from church. You don't have to come to church on Sunday. No. What he's saying is, you don't need anybody to tell you that that guy's a false prophet. You can read the false prophet right off, listen to what he says, compare it with the Word of God, let the Spirit of God lead you, and you can know the truth. Be discerning. That's what Paul says. That's what this command is. He says, but the same anointing teacheth you of all that teaches you all things is truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so we understand that everything that we know, we can understand and know because we have the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and we have Christ abiding in us, and we abide in Christ. And therefore, when false teachers come across, you look at them and say, whoops! Stay away, because you are not of God. And you don't have to come to me to tell you that. You got the Holy Spirit. And so if we do that and understand the teaching of Scripture, all of us can be faithful to God. So the precaution is stated, and it's stated in light of the fact that every one of us can discern the truth and error. Every one of us. Because we abide in Christ, because we have his Word abiding in us, and the Spirit bringing all of this together. So that's the precaution shared. The second thing I want you to notice in this passage is what I call the problem stated. The problem stated. And it's very interesting. In the King James it says, lest any man spoil you. The word spoil there is a very interesting word in the original. It's a word that is only used here and no other place in the New Testament. And it's a word that means to kidnap somebody. To kidnap somebody, or to take somebody as like a slave, as your booty. And he says, don't let someone take you. And it's very interesting, the word spoil, as we have it in the King James, or probably is better translated, don't let them kidnap you, is in the singular. And being in the singular, what it's saying is, he's pointing that there's one person who is a very smooth communicator who will draw you away. Don't we have the world full of these smooth communicators? This one person, he wants to kidnap you. He wants to take you as his prize. That's what every false teacher is looking for. He's looking to gain prizes for himself. I mentioned that passage in Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 20. When we start, you might not see the connection, but when we finish, you will. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. We're going to look at verses 28 through 30. And I'm going to read it to you. You follow in your translation, whatever you have. I'm going to read it in my translation. It says, pay attention. Pay attention. That's a command. What are we to pay attention to? Ourselves. That's what he says. Pay attention accordingly to yourselves. You see, what we have to understand is my job, even as a pastor, is not to take care of you, but to take care of me. And it's your job to take care of you, and the Holy Spirit teaches you, and you are taught by the Holy Spirit, and we learn together. Now, it's my responsibility to teach you how to understand the Word of God so that you can take care of yourself. So that you can take care of yourself. But remember, he's talking here to elders. He's talking to the elders of the church, and he says, you watch yourself. You pay attention to yourself first. And then, also, he says, all the flock, all the people that God has put under your responsibility, he says, in the sphere of which the Holy Spirit has placed you as a watchman. The Holy Spirit has placed you as a watchman. By the way, that word that is translated overseer is a word that you find in, for example, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, where he says an elder is an overseer. You also find Peter using it in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, where he's talking about Christ being our overseer. So the elders and Christ are the watchmen that watch over us. They are the watchmen. In both cases, it's translated bishop. But the word is really a word for overseer or a watchman, somebody who watches. Christ watches for my soul. Christ watches for my soul. He said, so you are watchmen. You are watchmen to shepherd the called out ones of God. To shepherd the called out ones of God, which he acquired or gained for himself through his own blood. In other words, he says, you have to take care of the flock that Jesus purchased with his own blood. That's your responsibility. But notice he goes on, he says, because I am perceiving that when I leave and am no longer among you, there will come, and listen to this, he calls them predatory, violent persons of burdensome precepts. Boy, that's a pretty powerful phrase, isn't it? He says they are predatory, violent persons of burdensome precepts. They are predators because they're stealing from the flock of God. They want to steal from the flock of God. And they're violent because they want to destroy people in the process of their stealing from the flock of God. And the other part is they teach you things that are so heavy you can't carry them. Remember Jesus telling that to the scribes and Pharisees? He says, you lay burdens upon people, but you yourself won't even lift a finger and carry them. So what these people do, what they do is they try to get you to live under a bunch of rules and regulations that are so heavy that they can't even themselves keep them. Because they're looking for people to follow themselves. But notice, we'll go on here. He says in verse 30, also, out of your own selves, and this is the verse I wanted to do to bring it back to what we were looking at in Colossians, someone who is kidnapping you. There are persons among your own selves, among your own selves. In other words, the church has to be on guard because right out of the church, these kind of people come. He says, men will stand reasoning through intellectual twisting. Do you see it? Do you see it today in the Church of Jesus Christ? There's this intellectual twisting that is going on. He says, perverting for the drawing of learners back to themselves. And you see, this is what Paul's talking about in Colossians. We have to be careful because we, first of all, must be very cognizant of the fact that we should not be followers of men, but of Jesus Christ. He is the only one we follow. But you have men out there who are looking for disciples to follow them. Learners, disciples to follow them. Don't follow man, follow Christ. You see, that's the whole answer to everything. So he warns us, here is the problem. From the middle of the church will come false teachers who will want to build up for themselves and their own reputation. The only one that we should be building for is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his church. It's his church, and that's where we should be. The third thing, we have the precaution shared, the problem stated, and then what I call the portrayal of self-wisdom. The phrase literally translated is through the love of wisdom. Through the love of wisdom. That word philosophy means human wisdom. Human wisdom. And if you have ever noticed anything in the church, what people are looking for is intellectual stimulating wisdom from men and the teaching of men rather than being stimulated by the Word of God and the wisdom that comes from God. And it's important that we notice that the great movements of the church today and these people who are gaining followers are always gaining them because of their intellectual prowess and their communication ability to let people know that they're doing something. So watch out. Watch out. If someone sounds real smart, check them out. Check them out. Don't let them lead you astray. And You can just look at the history of the church. I remember back in the 70s and early 80s, the secret of success for Sunday school is a bus ministry. Now we got a bunch of rusting buses behind churches because it didn't work. And then in the early 90s, they said, we've got it all figured out. You know how to make a successful Sunday school? You need a 5-foot round table. You need a 5-foot round table. And then you can get the kids sitting all around the table. And when that table is all filled up, you go to get another 5-foot round table, have another teacher, and that will give you a successful Sunday school class. So we got churches now whose basements are full of 5-foot round tables leaning against the wall, you see. And we have we have it going on today constantly all the time. It's moving from one thing to the other. We have this concept now in the church that probably is overwhelming the church in what we call the sinner-friendly concept of the church. You let the sinners come into the church and become part of the church. And when the sinners come into the church and become part of the church, then at least you can preach the word of God and you can make them part of you. And you know what the man said who started that after 10 years? He said, "It was the worst thing I ever taught. The worst thing I ever taught." Or the modern movement that says, let's adapt to the culture that we live in so everybody can come into the church and feel comfortable. Oops. The church shouldn't be comfortable for outsiders. It shouldn't be comfortable for us, because God should be teaching us and correcting us and giving us direction. You see, all of this is just wisdom that comes from men. So we have to watch, because what happens is the church ends up with a bunch of wisdom that ends up in a trash heap, and the church is part of the trash heap because it dies in the process. The fourth thing is what I call the prophet and source. We had the precaution shared, the problem stated, the portrayal of self-wisdom, and the prophet and the source. Let me give you a translation of that next phrase. Empty or meaningless deception, or you could also translate that seducing, from the doctrine belonging to men. Where are we looking for our doctrine? I like these guys who, no, I shouldn't say I like them. I don't like them. Who come out with, I've had a new vision. I've had a new understanding that nobody has ever had. You know what I do with those people? I run like a scared bunny. Because anytime somebody comes up with something new, I know there's something wrong. Because the old ways are laid out in the Word of God, and we never change those old ways, and we follow God's Word all the time. We stand on it, and we stand on its truth. And you see, what they have to offer you is empty. It's meaningless, and it just seduces you. What does it do in its seduction? It draws you away from Jesus Christ, from the truth of the Word of God, and from the power that is yours in Jesus Christ to walk and live in Him. And what we have is a whole society of evangelicalism that have drawn people away from God and drawn them to man and his abilities and man's capabilities, and the Church of Jesus Christ is slowly withering and dying. And the reason it happens is because it's the doctrine of men and not the doctrine of God. It's the teaching of men. It's seductive, it's meaningless, and its source is always men, never God. The fifth thing I want you to notice is the producer is Satan. Satan is the head of all of this mess that's going on. Notice what it says here in the King James. It says, after the rudiments of this world, or you could translate that from the elements of this world. Who is the god of this world? Satan. Where do we get all our hints from how we should operate the church? From the world, therefore from Satan. You see? I remember there was a book that was very popular in the late 80s and early 90s. It was called All Truth is God's Truth. Doesn't that sound good? It sounds like a good book. You know what the whole premise of the book was? If it works in the world, it's got to be true, therefore it should work in the church. There's only one truth. It's in the book. It's in the book. All that works is not true. Communism works in China, but is it true? You see, we have to understand that there's only one truth and only one way of truth, and that's the God's way, because God is truth, the Spirit is truth, and Christ is truth. And so all truth comes through the Trinity. It doesn't come through man and the philosophies of the world. And even if you can look at the richest men in the world, like Donald Trump is one of them, and watch his philosophies and say it must be biblical and true, it's not. It's not. It's the only truth is the truth that is in the Word of God, and the only riches that you get are the riches that come out of God's Word. And so we have to be very much aware. Somebody gave me a book the other day and asked me to read it. And it's got an interesting title. It's Simple Church. I haven't read the book yet, but I just kind of read the introduction and flipped through it. And I think they misspelled it. It probably should have been Simpleton Church. And the whole premise of the book is this: we can work everything out for the success of the church statistically. If we get all the statistics together and get those operating in the church, then we can make it work. The church works, you see. If 99% of the churches find success in this program, then it's a good program and it works, and it's got to be biblical. Wow. Yeah. Okay. By the way, one of the authors of the book, his name is Thom Rainier, and I've read some of his other books, and I don't recommend you read any of them. And then let me close with this, because I think it's vital. The sixth thing: we have the precaution shared, the problem stated, the portrayal of self-wisdom, the prophet and the source, and the producer is Satan. And then finally he talks about the perception is outside the sacred. The perception is outside the sacred. Notice what he says: and also, better than, and not of Christ. You could literally translate that: and also not down from Christ. It's not coming down from Christ. It's coming up from the world. It's not coming down from Christ. And one of the great hallmarks that you have of false teachers and seducing people is their teaching does not come from Christ. It comes from men. It comes from men's wisdom. It draws men into a following of man for the wisdom of man, and it leads the church away from the spiritual, and we are left as a church dead in a trash heap. I can't stop there, because I got to give you the answer, and we'll look at this next week. But the answer is Christ. You just read verses 6 and 7. It starts with the word in, excuse, not 6 and 7, 9 and 10. Verse 9 starts with the word because in him. Because in him. When all these false teachers come, when all the false things come, you have to turn to him, because everything is in him. Everything is in him. And the answer to all the false teachers is not trying to convince them that they're wrong. The answer to all the false teachers for us is being in him, because he's the answer. Doesn't matter what the question is, he's the answer. He's the answer. So, what's the question? Who are false teachers? What's the answer? See Jesus Christ in all his glory and majesty and power. And then you will understand. Then you will understand. Then you'll get it. You see? Jesus is the answer. Watch out. We live in a time where the slickeries are really at work. And they're teaching false teaching all over the place. But we have the anointing from God that we can discern. We have the truth inscripturated for us. We have the truth in the person of Jesus Christ dwelling in us. And we can know false teachers. We can know false teachers, but beware. Beware, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. But God is bigger. Christ is bigger than any false teacher. Praise God for that. Let's pray. Father, may we live so attached to Jesus that when we hear and see these false teachers, we will know and understand that they are false and turn quickly away from them. Thank you, Father, because you have given us everything to be able to do that, and you've warned us that in these days that's the way it's going to be. Thank you for your help and wisdom and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.